Welcome to another episode of High Velocity Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and it's one of my favorite times of the month. It's our Dunwoody Chamber special, and I have the lovely Beth Summers in the studio with me, as usual. Welcome
back. Good morning.
What have you been up to since the last time I talked with you?
We have been very busy. We have had lots of events and programs. And
a lot of ribbon cuttings?
A lot of ribbon cuttings. About five this month.
Wow. Well, that's great. Well, I know people are just flocking to Dunwoody because it's such a great city to live, and you guys are really just handling it really well. So
it has been. It's been very busy. Lots of new companies coming in, and for the next 5 to 10 years, Dunwoody is going to become the center of Atlanta.
Well, I love that, and I live in the center of Atlanta right now, but maybe I might be moving out to
exactly.
Dunwoody.
Exactly. So. You'll have to move.
So tell me about some of the upcoming events before we get to talk to some of the lovely ladies you brought today.
Okay, great. Tomorrow, the 15th, we have our Dunwoody Chamber and Heels monthly luncheon, and it's always at McKendrick's.
I know, I'm jealous.
It's
I've
wonderful.
Tried to sneak in multiple times,
but you can't come. So I hope everybody will come to that. And then on the 17th, on Thursday, we have Karen Cannon Realtors Ribbon Cutting, and we had her here last time. And then on the 25th, the last Friday of the month, we have our Coffee and Contacts, which is complete networking, and we have changed the location for this month. It's going to be at Davia.
Okay.
So it's 7:30 a.m. And then our first Monday for next month, I wanted to mention, will be at Fidelity Bank. And then on May 13th, we have a combined luncheon with Sandy Springs Chamber, which, you know, we have been doing some combined programs with them, and Tom Price will be the speaker at Villa Christina.
Well, that's been really exciting stuff, too, that you guys as chambers get along really well. I mean, you're so close in a vicinity, and for you guys, you can't tell when you leave Sandy Springs and go to Dunwoody, but you guys are so on the same page, and it's so nice.
Absolutely. It is. The line is so fine, and we thought, you know, we're all kind of calling on some of the same companies and trying to promote business in this area, which we call the greater perimeter area. So we said, why not? Let's do some things together.
Definitely. Well, you brought some excellent business owners here with you today, didn't you?
We did.
Well, we have with us, and later in the show, we'll be interviewing Caitlin Fox. She's a store manager with Dress Up at Perimeter. And we also have Francis Shube with Splash Festivals. But first up on High Velocity Radio, we have Holly Monahan. There we go. I've been butchering.
Okay.
I probably just butchered your name, and I apologize. It always happens. So, and she's the CEO of the Waters Organization. Well, welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Holly, tell me a little bit about yourself, and tell me a little bit about how you got to be the CEO of the Waters Organization.
Sure. Well, the Waters Organization is a staffing firm here in Dunwoody, and we staff any type of office professional, so receptionists, administrative assistants, and we also do some clerical accounting staffing. We handle temporary, temp-to-hire, and direct-hire placements. And in 2009, I was given the opportunity to purchase part of the company from the person that started it, and he since then has passed away.
Okay. So that's really exciting. And how have you found it being a CEO of such a large organization?
Well, we're very small, but thank you. you know, it's great. I have a great team that helps me. I have several business partners that also help me, including my right hand, Melanie Davis. And we've worked together for 11 years now. And then I have several other ladies in the office that, you know, I was able to go out of town last week, and the only reason I could go out of town was because of them.
Because you have that infrastructure, and you can trust them to keep the wheels running and the reputation just how it is.
Absolutely.
So tell me a little bit about a staffing agency. Are you guys a niche-based staffing agency? Do you guys work with just one type of company or any kind of company, or how does that work?
We work with, you know, anyone from a small mom-and-pop type establishment to Fortune 500 companies. Right now, we are servicing a contract for Gwinnett County government, so we handle all of Gwinnett County's staffing.
It's huge.
We competed against 24 other staffing firms in the state of Georgia to get this contract, and it's been very exciting.
That's awesome.
For us.
So how do you guys really go out there and find the best employees to match up with these companies? I feel like you don't have to give away the secret sauce. But.
Well, no, that's probably the hardest part of our job. We certainly rely on referrals. We do a lot of networking and really rely on our candidates to refer good people. In this market right now, we are certainly having to be creative and go back to the real hardcore recruiting, calling in and trying to find that top talent, because there's certainly a shortage of candidates right now.
Well, definitely. I'm sure you have a little oversaturation of all these college kids coming in expecting to make $60,000 a year coming out of college and expecting that they're the best because that's what they were told.
Right. And don't forget the sign-on bonus that they want and the laptop and the cell phone. And they also want 6 weeks of vacation.
Really? Wow. And the people that have been doing it for 10 years are like, well, I'll take half of what they want
exactly,
and none of
right.
the other things. So what advice would you give people that want to work with a staffing agency? What are the benefits of it, either on both ends, really?
Sure. I think there are a lot of benefits. I mean, for one, we have established relationships with businesses that we work with all throughout Atlanta. And, you know, our clients, we've gotten to know them. We know, you know, I know when I interview someone if they're going to work out at ABC company, just because I've worked with that company for, you know, some companies I've worked with for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage candidates to certainly build a relationship with a recruiter and really get to know them and share exactly what they want. A good recruiter will listen. They'll ask good questions and really and truly try to help you, you know, match your career goals, you know, so that it's a win-win situation for everyone.
Definitely. I have to think that it'd be a lot of peace of mind for a company to have a staffing agency like yours, so I don't have to worry about it. If I need a new person in HR, I need to fill a sales position, I don't have to go out there and beat the pass and interview people. I have sort of you as a filter to guide me in the right path. That relationship would be huge, so I wouldn't have to worry
sure.
about it.
Sure. I mean, most clients, when they run an ad for a position, they're inundated with resumes, and they don't have time to go through and screen, so that's where we come in. We're screening resumes and bringing people in. We have a whole process that we follow. But I think a lot of our candidates aren't trolling the job boards. They're not coming from, you know, the internet. They're coming from people that we know and that we trust.
Definitely. I think that's probably a big mistake a lot of people make in this technology. They're like, well, I sent out 100 resumes last year, and they're going to all these websites. But what they have to understand is, by the time a business is a relationship business, by the time it's reached those websites, that, I mean, the job's already filled normally.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One of the things that I encourage my candidates to do is to be creative. You know, a lot of them are relying on CareerBuilder and Monster, which are great, great ways to find a job. But I think it's more important to be creative and use your resources. You know, pick your top 50 companies that you want to work for and directly target those companies. Do something that most people don't do. Mail your resume, you know, in the old-fashioned mail. And I guarantee you, you know, someone will open it. I never get mail anymore. And if someone sent me something that was marked personal and confidential, I certainly would open it before I'd open any other
also,
thing on my desk.
Also, if you require them to have to sign for it, too, you make sure that
that's
person
true.
Gets that.
Right, right. I think, you know, it takes 7 touches for someone to know your name. So you really do have to be creative. And, you know, your resumes do get lost in a sea of emails. Think about how many emails you get per day. So you mail the resume to the person that you're interested in, follow up with an email, maybe connect with them on LinkedIn, follow up with a phone call, and, you know, maybe send your resume at that point electronically, and just, you know, constantly do things to get in front of them. And don't be discouraged when you go on a company's website and there's not a position posted. That doesn't mean that they don't have an opening that's coming up or something that they're thinking about.
Actually, I would think that would be a better chance is go for the companies that haven't posted anything yet, because then you're on their radar when the position pops up. They're like, well, that kid was in here, that person was in here, so I'm going to talk to them first so I don't have to worry about actually setting up a job post.
Sure, absolutely.
So how do you feel about people, like, if you're interested in a job, actually going to that job and trying to talk to someone? Is that something recommended? Do companies like that, or do they not?
I think it depends. You know, I'm always, you know, when someone walks in my office unsolicited, you know, I want to talk to them, because I think it takes a lot of courage to do that. So I would definitely encourage candidates. I mean, you've got to do something to differentiate yourself from your competition. So, you know, reaching out there and getting ahead of the other, you know, thousands of candidates is a great idea.
Okay, so what are the most frequently asked questions? You've gotten through that. You got your interview. What are on both sides? What are the most frequently questions that you should be prepared for if you're going in for an interview? And what questions should they be asking you?
Well, I think for candidates, you know, it's hard for me to, you know, fully prepare you and tell you exactly what you're going to be asked because Definitely. Everyone interviews differently. I think the most common question, especially from inexperienced interviewers that candidates will get is the dreaded tell me about yourself question. And I always hate it when someone starts out with that question because, you know, you're sitting there thinking, well, what does this person really and truly want to know about me? You know, do they want to know what I did last weekend or do they want to know what I did yesterday?
Well, I was watching Game of Thrones and...
Right. So, you know, be prepared for some of those questions and the typical, you know, candidates have so much information at their fingertips. You know, they can literally Google the top 10 interviewing questions and know, you know, I think they need to know, you know, what challenges they've had and how they've overcome those challenges. But most importantly, they need to be able to show how, you know, they do more than just what's on their job description, how they go above and beyond it, their value. You know, it's easy to go into an interview and say, I'm great with Excel, but it sounds so much better if you say, you know, I'm intermediate with Excel. For example, I once created an Excel spreadsheet that helps streamline this process and so on and so on.
Well, I've also heard, I interview a lot of different people. They love to hear, especially young people that come in and they'll ask them a question and they love if they hear, I don't know, but I'll find out. They like that so much more than them trying to scramble and come up with a BS answer.
Sure. Absolutely. I think that's great. And then from the employer standpoint, you know, when you're interviewing and asking questions to a future hire, I think you really need to figure out what questions you want answers to. I mean, is it really important to know someone's weakness? Are they really going to tell you what their true weakness is, or are they going to tell you
perfectionist?
Right, right, and that's you know the worst one you could use because it's overused. Mm-hmm. But I think employers need to sit down and they need to come up with their own questions. You know, what do they really want to know when they meet a candidate? And, you know, the best questions they can ask are, you know, more behavioral related questions.
Well, definitely. Too, and don't ask a question that they know how you're going to answer it because everyone answers it the same way, right?
Sure.
I mean, if you're going to ask me what my greatest weakness is, I'm going to tell you something that's going to sound like a strength.
Right. Absolutely.
So also, I mean, it's so important for these companies when they hire someone, it's normally a 3-month commitment before they know if these people are going to work out or not. And that's a huge financial investment for a company. So again, I would think having you guys to help weed that out for them must be just huge and a huge pain point relief for them.
Sure. In more ways than one. I mean, if you can avoid a mishire, that's, you know, it's very costly to hire someone and to train them. So I think investing time on the front end and really digging deep and getting to know the person that you're about to hire more so in just 1 hour is really going to help you in the long run. I often suggest that they have candidates, you know, take them to lunch, see how they are outside of the interview setting, or have them come in and shadow for an hour, even if they just come in and shadow the person that maybe they're taking over the job for. You know, anything to get to know the candidate more than just that 1 hour, because, you know, their game's on in that 1 hour. They're going to act and say everything that you want to hear at that point. So I think you need to be, you know, it's going to take more time, but the more creative you can be, the better.
All right. Well, what do you guys need more of? How can we help your business, Radio X? Do you need more companies to hire you guys on? Do you need more candidates? How can we help?
Believe it or not, we need more candidates. There's definitely a candidate shortage right now. The market is great. It's hot. People are hiring. People are more serious now more than ever. In a good economy, permanent placement goes up. And right now we're seeing our permanent placement go up. You know, in a bad economy, your temporary sales go up. So right now it's just a matter of finding, you know, really good, you know, quality talent. So we're always looking for referrals. And of course, we always like business too.
Definitely. And how has being part of the Dunwoody Chamber really helped you guys out in the community?
The Dunwoody Chamber is wonderful. We just recently got involved about a month ago, and I know Beth outside of the chamber, so she, you know, certainly encouraged me to join. But I think it's the networking events that are extremely helpful, getting to network with other businesses and kind of share resources, share some of the ideas and things that you're using and benefiting from.
Definitely. You can also learn that. I know one thing they do there that I find is great, and women do it so much more than men, is you guys actually, you'll be in the same business, and you're like, well, this is something a mistake I made, and it's some scar tissue I built up. I don't want you to make that mistake. I want you to be successful as well. And it's not walking over each other. It's helping bring each other up.
Sure, absolutely.
So how do our listeners reach out and sign up so they can get jobs through you guys?
Sure. They can email me directly. They can go to our website, thewatersorganization.com. We are on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and, all of the above. They can call our office. The nice thing I like about our office is I have, a real person that answers the phone. So you will always get someone on the phone from 8:30 to 5:30. There's never, a dial by name directory unless you're calling after hours. So you'll get a real human on the phone and someone that sincerely wants to help you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you.
All right. Well, next up on High Velocity Radio, we have Caitlin Fox with Dress Up.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. I think you're the only person that didn't butcher their name today.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about Dress Up. Tell me how you became the store manager and just a little bit about your history.
Okay, awesome. We actually have 10 locations kind of throughout Metro Atlanta and North Georgia area. We specialize in women's clothing. We're a women's clothing boutique. We get 80 new styles every week. We get two of every size and we never reorder. So there's definitely like a constant change going on in the store. It allows our customers to have a lot of options and a wide variety of things to choose from. I started actually as just a regular full-time employee at our Swanee store about 2 years ago. From there, I became the Woodstock store manager and then opened our Perimeter store 6 months ago.
Wow, that's huge. And tell me a little bit about that process of opening up a store. It's got to be a lot different than just coming into one that's already been
open. It definitely is. There's a lot more things to do. We have a great team, though, especially at our headquarters. We have a great team of people who really have your back and who are making sure that everything is, all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted, and really just getting everything in place to have a smooth grand opening.
Definitely. So do you have to do anything in the hiring world? So we were just talking about that.
Yes, definitely. I, along with my regional manager, do all the interviews. So it's a really cool process to get to see every candidate that comes in and get to talk to them. And we like to keep our interviews really casual and fun and just get to know the person that could become a part of our Dress Up family. That's one of our big things we stress, is that it's one big family. We want to make sure that every employee feels loved just like our customers do.
So how are you guys sort of standing out? I know it's oversaturated. I mean, fashion's oversaturated. You said earlier, one thing you guys are doing, which I think is huge, is you're only bringing in two of one piece of clothing. So I know if I'm a woman and I go there and I shop there, I get something that's going to be unique. I'm not going to see someone else that's from Forever 21 and wearing the same thing as me.
That's very true.
You can tell I do a lot of shopping with my fiance.
I can tell.
That's very true. And we also offer very reasonable prices. So we like for our customers to walk in the door and have reverse sticker shock, to look at our tag and be like, man, I thought that was going to be so much more expensive, because we really want everyone to be able to have trendy, cute clothes and to never see themselves walking down the sidewalk right in front of them in the same outfit. We also try and differentiate ourselves by having top tier customer service. We really like to focus on the experience that the customer has, that when they walk in the door, they have one-on-one attention. They get an attention of a sales associate who's going to help them around the store and make sure that they leave knowing how beautiful they are and looking their best and really feeling confident in their purchases.
Well, I'm sure too, when you guys are hiring, you're finding people that are really interested in these people. They want exactly. These people to feel attractive, mm-hmm. and or feel professional and have clothes and have the best clothes for them.
Exactly. We really look for candidates who have a heart for others. We really want our candidates to loving on other people and making them feel beautiful.
How are you guys getting the word out? Are you guys on social media? How are you guys engaging customers to get them to know about you guys?
We're actually very active on social media. We have Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, excuse me.
It's fine.
Oh, sorry, guys. That we actually update daily. So we're always putting previews of our new styles on our Facebook and our Instagram, and really just giving people like a behind the scenes look and a really cool view into the dress up world. We also have our online website that customers can shop directly from. That's shopdressup.com. They can shop our styles and really read more about us and about what we stand for.
Well, I would feel like just coming to the store, though, with the experience that you're giving people, you guys are giving for a reasonable price a very high-level experience and a one-on-one kind of having – it's like having your own fashion expert sitting next to you while you're shopping.
Exactly, and not having to pay too much for it.
So what are you guys looking for right now? Are you guys hiring more employees? Are you expanding really quickly with
the
company?
We are. The company's actually only been around for 4 years and we have 10 locations. So
wow.
That's huge. Very huge. We've been very blessed. So we're actually expanding just as quickly. We are looking for new employees for all of our different locations. They can actually go on our website, shopdressup.com. There's a career opportunities tab at the bottom. And it kind of gives you an insight into our family and what we like to offer our employees. You can also apply directly from the website, so it's really convenient.
Definitely. Well, what would you prefer? Someone to walk in your store and say, I really want to work here? Or do you guys get, I'm sure you guys get a million resumes.
We do get a ton of resumes, but I will play off what she said. It does stand out to me when I have someone come in, a potential candidate come in and say, I just want to speak to the manager and just put their name out there right then. That does stand out.
Well, let's talk about the important thing now. Let's talk about the actual fashion. Yeah. How are you guys keeping up with the trends and the designs, and how do you guys make that? How do you make it all so affordable?
Well, we get 80 new styles and only getting two sizes. Our buyer does an incredible job of making sure it's the latest trends and things that she knows customers are going to want. She's like a psychic. So it's really cool to us. We get things and we're like, oh my goodness, I didn't even know I would want this. And that's what our customers kind of reiterate as well. So we do a really good job of that. And then just, we carry tons of different stuff. We carry tops, dresses, the basic women's clothing store, but also a lot of cool like accessories like purses and shoes and belts and things that are unique and affordable.
Okay. Well, that's great. What's next for you though? Are you going to stop at store manager? You want to keep with dress up?
I love dress up.
Do you want to own your own store one day or a few different locations?
I probably won't want to own my own store, but they have really good opportunities for movement, all of us. I'm very blessed to work here for sure. So just keep moving right up.
Well, definitely. Well, you're living proof. You started out in one store as a full-time employee, and now you're a store manager at this young of an age. So it's huge.
It's huge.
So are you actually wearing some clothes from
store? I am. I'm actually wearing all dress-up clothes right now.
And they look very fashionable. They look very expensive.
Thank you.
So how do our listeners reach out? Learn more. Oh, and also, how are you guys involved in the Dunwoody Chamber?
Oh, yeah. So we just became involved with Beth recently, about 3 months ago. She actually came in our store one day and went on a little shopping spree. And that is how we got to know Ms. Beth and got involved. The Chamber has helped us with so many different networking opportunities, just with, especially I know we love to attend the Young Professionals of Dunwoody because we're all young girls. And so we love to go and just hang out and get to know the other young people in the area. So they've helped us to network in that way. And now we're getting really involved. We're actually having our ribbon cutting ceremony with Beth on April 29th. So we're really, really excited about that. And
Well, that's great.
Yeah, we're
and
pumped.
Again, give us your website for the listeners if they want to apply for jobs, if they just want to shop online, or if they just want to find out where all your locations are.
Our website is shopdressup.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter with the handle at shopdressup.
Well, thank you so much for being
on. Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, last but definitely not least, we have Frances
Shuby.
There we go. Thank you for helping me with Splash Festivals. Tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us a little about Splash Festivals. It sounds exciting.
Well, it is exciting. What we do is we run art festivals around Atlanta.
Okay.
We actually have 4, and Dunwoody is... I should say it because I'm in a group with Dunwoody people. I'm going to say it's the best one, but
they're all
wonderful and they're all my favorites. It's kind of like asking which child do you like the best.
Well, how do you get involved in something like this? This is such a unique, niche event kind of thing. How did you get involved?
I actually was, I guess you always are, an artist, and I did shows for 12 years. So I sat under a tent and looked miserable when no one was buying and very happy when they were. And after 12 years, I had the opportunity to run one. And I thought, you know, I know a lot about this. I think I could do a good job here. And, you know, here we are 11 and a half years later.
Well, tell me about how an art festival runs and works, because they're all very unique and you have a bunch of creative people really coming together. And I know people love it. Visually, it's a great experience. But how do all the pieces come together?
Well, it helps to have an amazing business partner. Her name is Cindy Flynn, and she makes me, as president of the company, she makes me look extremely organized. And
that's what I do. I surround myself with a lot of people that are smarter than me.
That's how you're successful.
True. I mean, everybody comes up to me during the festival and says, oh, this is the most organized show. You're so great. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, I've got a great helper. And that's why I look so good. But she does all the logistics. She does the maps and she does the spreadsheets. And I do everything else. But she is incredible, and that's why we're here, and we're doing so well. I give her all the credit.
Can you tell me about the four festivals that you guys do?
We run the first one in the spring, just happened a week ago, and that's Acworth Art Fest in the cute, charming town of Acworth. And then that's usually in April. And then Mother's Day weekend, we do Dunwoody Art Festival, where we block.
The best one, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's just fun because it's Mother's Day weekend. So it's nice to see so many different generations.
So that's
there.
That's actually coming up here
it
really
is.
Soon.
It is. So we get there at 2 a.m. that day. So I'm, you know, I'm getting some good sleep now. And then in the fall, we run two more. We do one in Norcross called Norcross Art Fest in the historic town of Norcross. And then our last one at the end of October is called Johns Creek Arts Festival. And that's just kind of fun, too, because that's a newer show. And the town of Johns Creek is wonderfully supportive.
Well, tell me what people can expect going to these. If someone's never been to an art festival before, I mean, it's like any other festival. There's a lot of stuff to do.
Bring lots of money so that you can buy and support the artists. Our shows are a little different in that they are very whimsical. Some shows are more fine art. Some shows have more crafty goodies. We're about fun. So one of my biggest criticisms, you talk about criticism and what your bad faults are. One of the criticisms was by a shopper was our show was too happy. And I thought, you know,
that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it's a good problem and we'll take that. So, yeah. And we are invitation only. So we handpick everybody at all the shows so that we have the personality, the fun, happy personality that people enjoy. And I think that's why the crowds are large, because they enjoy that as well.
Well, that also sets a level, as the consumer, it sets a level of credibility for you guys, too, that it's like, hey, I'm going to go here and it's not going to be this person that just makes these that are not a good craft or an art. I know that there's going to be high level artists here that I would want to have their art displayed in my home or work.
I think so, but I also will say that we don't love the high end, because right now, you know, it's tough for people to plunk down thousands of dollars.
Well, I didn't mean just price-wise, I just meant quality-wise.
Yeah, I think so, and it makes me feel good to see them all there, and it's so colorful. We say that some of the artists end up going home with no money because they spend so much with everybody else, which is a good sign that you're doing okay.
Definitely. So do you guys have any food here at these events? Or
we have the whole thing. We have the fun food. Of course, we have funnel cakes at every show because everybody wants that, as well as some local favorites from the cities that service us. We also have live entertainment at all the shows. We have kids areas with lots of fun, you know, inflatable rides and creative ideas. And our specialty is hospitality. We're very, very nice to the artists. We treat them like royalty, like guests, and that's why they come back every year.
Well, tell me how all this gets funded. I'm sure you have a lot of sponsors, and everyone's very passionate about the arts, and they want to help out and give back. And these festivals are a way to really give back and show off the local artists, isn't it?
Yeah, we do not only local artists, but we get artists from around the country.
Okay.
So it's kind of neat. We kind of feel like even though they're local shows, we want the cities to experience regional and national artisans also. And when these artisans come in, they say, wow, what incredibly nice communities that you have here. And as far as paying for these festivals, it is definitely sponsor driven. We have wonderful companies and supportive organizations that pay to be there as well. And that's how we pay for advertising. And that's how we pay for the tents and the tables and the barricades and the police and everything else that goes along with running an art festival.
So I'm sure you guys also have a lot of volunteers. Would it be a good volunteer opportunity if someone's interested in the arts and they sort of want to see the business side of it to come and just experience?
Absolutely.
That?
In fact, all of the festivals that we run are volunteer-based. In fact, Norcross has over 300 volunteers. And the biggest group is the ones that come at 4:30 in the morning to help the artists.
Wow.
And that's their favorite opportunity, which always amazes me to see these people drinking hot coffee at 4:30 in the morning. But without volunteers, we wouldn't be here. They really are truly the champions of the shows.
So if artists want to be part of these festivals, how do they sort of get through the filter process and talk to you guys to give show their art?
They go online to splashfestivals.com and follow the prompts to contacting us. Tell us a little bit about you, and then they get my phone call.
Okay. So they can talk to you personally.
Yes. I kind of screen them and make sure they're the right fit. Sometimes they may be incredibly talented artists, but they just don't have that fun personality, and I want them to all make money. So I want them to feel comfortable.
Well, I think you bring up a really good point, too, though. It doesn't matter how good of an artist are. Again, back to that relationship part. If you're not happy and go lucky, people aren't going to want to approach your booth to buy your art. So there's a huge part of that.
That's very true. I want them to do well. In fact, I work with each one of them on their booth display, too, because it's very important for me to see them, you know, leaving the festival with a lot less in their booth than when they came.
Definitely. So let's talk about the one coming up, Mother's Day. Give the date to people, the location.
It is May 10th and 11th, right in the heart of Dunwoody. We actually block off Shamley-Dunwoody Road, a couple of blocks. And we're very excited. We are filled. We don't have any spaces left, but we have lots of spaces left for volunteers. Love volunteers. You get a free T-shirt and you get a pat on the back, which is always exciting. But we give them free snacks and treats, and the volunteers really have a great time.
Well, and I'm sure they learn a lot, too. What is the experience? Do they take away the most volunteers? What do they talk about?
I think the volunteers actually feel community pride, if anything else. Some of them want to learn more about the artisans and how they got there. Some of them are, you know, interested in even sponsoring down the road. But most of them just feel really good to be part of that city. And they love welcoming the artisans in.
Definitely. Well, Dunwoody has a really great community. And how has being part of the Dunwoody Chamber really helped you out?
You know, we are new to the Chamber, but I will tell you that the most important thing, they are the great ambassadors and liaisons for us with the businesses, especially around the area that are being inconvenienced by the street closures. And they have been incredibly kind and very, very upbeat for us, which is, you know, a great friendship.
Definitely. Well, give the date one more time and location of the upcoming festival, and let's give your contact information one more time for the listeners so they can keep track of all these different festivals going on.
Okay. Dunwoody Art Festival is May 10th and 11th, right on Shamley-Dunwoody Road. There's free shuttle service, too. You can look for lots of signs, and you can find us on splashfestivals.com.
And how can we help you guys out? Are you guys looking for more festivals to do, more artists? What do you guys really want to do?
You know, at this time for Dunwoody, we're filled, but we love sponsors. We love supporters and partners. So if you are interested in being a part of Dunwoody Art Festival next year or some of the upcoming fall shows, just, you know, go online and it'll tell you where to go.
And what are the benefits of the sponsors before?
Oh, wow. You know, if you let's say you're a regular business and, you know, you're dress up and you put an ad in the paper. That's great. But when you're in front of 50 or 60,000 people handing out cards and businesses and freebies, you can't beat that because then you get all the questions, you know, answered right there.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for being on spending your morning with us.
Thank you, Beth.
Again, you've brought some great
Aren't
ladies.
They lovely?
They are very lovely.
I'm so excited to have them today. Thank you.
And every week, I think we just, or every month, we prove it. When you bring in new companies, they're all happy. They love where they are. They love Dunwoody. I mean, this is really, you guys are really doing a great job over there.
Well, thank you. We're trying. That's what we're here for.
So before we wrap up, let's go again with our events and tell people how they can get involved.
Okay. Tomorrow at lunch at 11:30, the Dunwoody Chamber and Heels at McKendrick's, and then we have Karen Cannon Realtors ribbon cutting on the 17th at 10:30. We have coffee and contacts at Davia at 7:30 a.m. And then on the 29th, the dress up ribbon cutting. We're so excited. Thank you, Caitlin. And then May 5th is our first Monday every month, first Monday. And this one is at Fidelity Bank. The 13th is the combined luncheon with the Sandy Springs Chamber at Villa Christina with Speaker Tom Price. And then I forgot to mention our business expo, which is June 5th.
Okay, that's big,
and that is huge. And it's at Crown Plaza Ravinia. And so we are looking for exhibitors now. We usually have over 80 booths and tables, and it's a great way to promote your business if you're new or if you've just been around for a long time. And we have lunch, and we have after hours after the expo, so it's going to be an exciting day.
Well, definitely, and everyone at the Dunwoody Chamber is really friendly. They're glad to give business advice. If people want to reach out and sign up, what's the website?
www.dunwoodycommerce.org, or if you're interested in the business expo, it's www.gpbe.org.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
And thanks to our ladies today. Great job, everybody.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
All right, well, this is Kevin Finn for Beth Summers, our guest today, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on High Velocity Radio.